81.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with a representative of High Lifeline, is Cheryl Greenberg. High Lifeline is a wonderful organization. This is, like, really good stuff. In the second half of the hour, we'll be talking about the portion of the week, which is Bashalach, which is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and followed. We've got an awesome Hasidic story, lots of really good music this week. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Palestinians rioted outside Rachel's tomb in Bethlehem. Some 50 Palestinians threw rocks and at least 18 firebombs and 9 pipe bombs at Israeli troops guarding the tomb. One soldier was injured. One pipe bomb reportedly damaged the security fence there. A 21-year-old Palestinian was killed by IDF forces south of Hebron as he was trying to infiltrate into Israel through the border fence. In a similar incident, one man was wounded near the security fence near Gaza after the man refused to stop trying to damage the fence. Gaza's border authorities, here's something the Gaza police are doing, closed all tunnels between Gaza and Egypt until further notice. Dozens of tunnels collapsed as a result of the heavy rains in Israel. Several people were trapped and one person actually died. Turkey blocked Israel and Cyprus from affiliating themselves with the 141-member nation International Agency for Renewable Energies. Israel has become a world leader in renewable energy. It has set a goal to have 10% of its electricity generated by alternative means by the year 2020. Israel's national debt stands at $11 billion, twice last year's production. The deficit is due to less taxes being collected. An ancient vase, we reported about this site a couple weeks ago, but an ancient vase that provided evidence that the sanctuary mentioned in the book of Samuel, which stood for 369 years at Shiloh before being sacked by Philistines, was stolen from the Shiloh site. The vase, which was dated precisely to the year in which the destruction of Shiloh was assumed to have taken place, connected all the biblical pieces into one puzzle. The Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, rose another 3 inches this week to reach a 20-year high. The lake still stands 8 feet below flood level that would require retention dams to be opened. Israel is having its national elections this year on the 22nd, so Aretz Shava will be holding, that's Channel 7, will be holding a special election coverage on January 22nd, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Listeners can call a special toll-free number for questions and comments. Streaming video will be available at the website a7.org. Some local news. The Ann Arbor Transit Authority revised its ad policy, but says it still will not accept anti-Israeli ads. 2 years ago, the bus company refused an advertisement purchased by Blaine Coleman that had a skull and bones and read, "Boycott Israel, Boycott Apartheid." The AATA said that ads were not in good taste. U.S. District Judge Mark Goldsmith, who did not comment, ruled last September that the bus company's advertising policy was unconstitutional. Very interesting story here. The Chabad movement achieved a significant victory this week in their attempt to retrieve a collection of Hasidic texts from the Russian government. A U.S. federal judge ruled that Russia must now pay Chabad $50 a day for each day that the library is not returned. That comes out to $18 million a year. The Foreign Ministry of Russia called the ruling an absolute unlawful and provocative decision and threatened a tough response if U.S. authorities try to seize Russian property in an attempt to collect the fine. And finally, Hebrew University of Jerusalem has joined the ranks of famous people and places whose names appear on minor planets as the International Astronomical Union named an asteroid in their honor. Asteroid number 2701763 was discovered by David H. Levy. He's a very famous person. I've even heard of him. And Wendy Levy from Arizona and Tom Glenois from Canada. Dr. Levy wanted to name an asteroid after his alma mater. The asteroid will officially be named Hebrew U. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Harry Schulteman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online Dr. Cheryl Greenberg, who's with Chai Lifeline, an organization she's started called Our Mission. How are you today, Dr. Greenberger?
Thank God I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thank God. We had Chai Lifeline on about a year ago after the Lady Klutsky thing and the sad thing that happened there, and then the response that seemed that Chai Lifeline seemed to like step up to the front. And I see that Chai Lifeline, looking at the website, is like all over the place. Could you tell us, before we start talking about our mission, if you could tell us a little bit about Chai Lifeline?
Sure. Chai Lifeline started over 25 years ago with the main goal of helping families that had a child who had cancer. Since then, we've grown to start helping families with children who have chronic illness. We have become really a source for comfort, a source for resources, and for services to people who have all types of different illness and related, you know, concerns and issues. And we've helped many, many, many families throughout the years get through very difficult times. We've also have a crisis and bereavement department, which, like you mentioned with the case of Ivy Klutsky, we were able to go out to the communities and help communities deal with, like I said, very difficult situations, crisis situations, and be able to help people get through things that they never thought imaginable.
Okay.
That's really the goals of Chai Lifeline.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would assume you're more than just a shoulder to cry on.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely try to do some direct service, give people transportation to their medical appointments. We give food to the home. We try to really help them continue their everyday lives while going through these difficult situations.
Okay. Is the Chai Lifeline just the New York metropolitan area?
No, absolutely not. We have regional offices throughout the world, including Israel, including London, including across the United States. You know, a Midwest office, a West Coast office. We have all over, really. All over the world, we have people who are affiliated with Chai Lifeline.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're familiar with Camp Simcha, I'm sure, I'm assuming, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Our most proudest moment is Camp Simcha.
Go ahead. Explain about the Camp Simcha just briefly.
Camp Simcha, again, started as a camp for children who are going through cancer treatments. And then we began doing Camp Simcha Special, which was a program for children who have chronic illnesses, who cognitively are all there, yet in some way they're fighting some sort of illness, whether that causes them to have a physical handicap or in some way doesn't allow them to go to a regular camp. And this gives them the opportunity to feel like all their friends and all the people they know at home and go to a camp where they can have fun and they can have a great summer and have a two-week period. We have, at this point, four different sessions a summer. We have a girls' cancer session, a boys' cancer session, and then a boys' and a girls' session for those with chronic illness.
Mm-hmm. Chronic illness would be something like cystic fibrosis, that kind of stuff?
Yes, cystic fibrosis, familial dysautonomia, cerebral palsy. We have many, many different diagnoses.
Okay.
Some kids who are really one child in their entire community or one child in the entire world who has these type of diseases.
Okay. Now, so I received an email, a big splash about our mission, and it seems to be this, the way it was presented as a stupendous project, earth-shattering and really something that's innovative and really doing wonderful things, Dr. Cheryl Greenberg. So could you tell us about our mission?
Sure. Our mission started by realizing that there was a need that wasn't really being fulfilled, especially in the Jewish community. We had many kids and children who had gone through our program and who had gotten a lot of support from us, whether, again, direct services or whether just that emotional support while they were undergoing treatment. Their families as well had all that support, and yet when they completed treatment, they felt a little bit isolated, a little bit like they're now supposed to go back and return to normal life and whatever that means, and yet it wasn't as easy as everyone seemed to make it out. And they realized that they... We realized with them that this was a very difficult time in their lives, that transitional period, and there was no real help for them. And so what the idea for our mission began is to really try and help these families transition back to their normal, create a normal, and give them opportunities to connect with other people who have been through similar experiences and connect to other people who can understand them and relate to them, that even close family members, friends, even those who had been with them throughout treatment couldn't necessarily understand and couldn't necessarily relate to.
Okay, so let me just, if I could reiterate. So when teens or, is this children also or just teens we're talking here?
We really started the program at this point. We're starting with, you know, teens and up. But, you know, where it goes, who knows. But at the moment, we're looking at teens and up.
So there's a support base and everybody can understand why a child, a teen that is suffering through cancer, for example, needs to have this psycho-emotional support. But once the kid has been declared, okay, you're fine, you're cancer-free, you're just like a normal person right now, suddenly it was realized that the resilience that children are supposed to have wasn't so resilient, Dr. Greenberg?
No, not necessarily that they're not resilient, but that... You know, they do go back to normal in some way, but at the same time, this experience has changed them. This experience has not necessarily damaged them in any way, but it's changed them. It's made them into somebody who maybe has different values. Maybe they have different thoughts and ideas now. They've gone through something that most people around them can't necessarily, haven't necessarily experienced and can't necessarily understand. And so when they've gone through this, it's not that they only want to obviously be with cancer survivors, but they want other people in their lives that once in a while they can talk to and say, talk about what they've been through or talk about some of the challenges that they're now having and have someone who can say, yeah, I get that. That was really what was most important to them, is just to have somebody else who can say, you know, I hear you or I understand. And that's not something that we necessarily always have. You know, for some of these children, like I had said, they might be the one child in their class or the one, you know, one or two children in their school who had ever had cancer. And so to have another group of people, you know, in Camp Simcha, we saw how important it was for the, you know, children who are going through treatment to have that support network and to have people around them that, you know, understood them. And so, too, we're hoping with our mission to kind of continue that level of support and continue that feeling of, you know, of people around them who can relate.
Okay, now I've counseled people that have gone through cancer, and older people, adults, mm-hmm. and very often, more often than not, the person, while they're sitting there getting their treatments, in whatever form it happens to be, have this epiphany, you know, there are things in my life I didn't get done, and then faced with this, like, you know, getting mortality thrown at them, have decided, well, I'm going to go do X, Y, Z. Do teenagers get that too?
Absolutely. They do definitely get some sort of a bucket list, if you want to say, that they start, you know, forming of all the things that now I'm going to have this new perspective and I'm going to do and I'm going to conquer some fears that I had or I'm going to try and be more adventurous or whatever it is. There's definitely a feeling of also of paying it forward, of trying to make meaning out of what they've been through and trying in some way to give back to the community. So whether it's now they want to try and help other cancer survivors or whether they want to help people who are going through treatment or in some way give back and show thanks for what they've been through, we definitely see some of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
In both young adult, you know, in young adults and in those who are older.
Mm-hmm. Understood. My wife, Hannah, is a breast cancer survivor, and she coined a phrase that probably, I know she would originate it if she heard it, but she uses the expression, the new normal, after mm-hmm. that she's been in remission now for, thank God, since 2005. So is it a new normal, Dr. Greenberg?
It's definitely a new normal. You know, I think that a lot of people expect that after treatment's over, someone's going to go back and kind of fit right into that same place in the world that they were before they were diagnosed. And I think in the same way that a mother who has had a child can never be the same person she was before that child, I think, you know, a person who's gone through something like cancer treatments and a cancer diagnosis is not the same person they were before either. And so do I think they're normal? 1,000%. But I think that the situation is going to be a little bit different. Things are going to be a little bit different, whether it's, again, their perspective, whether it's their appreciation for life, whether it's, you know, more practically and physically, that there have been some changes physically in their bodies and in their since treatment. You know, there's a lot that changes, and yet there is that push to go back to being who they were. But again, just slightly different.
Yeah, you're segueing into my next question. Our guest today, if you're just tuning in, is Dr. Cheryl Greenberger, who is with Chai Lifeline, a program of our mission, which deals with teenagers who are in remission from cancer. Could you tell us, Dr. Greenberg, some of the challenges that cancer-surviving teenagers may face, whether it be like peer pressures or whether it be psychological pressures within themselves or physical things that they may encounter?
Sure. I think that one of the things that we've noticed actually pretty early on when they enter that survivorship program or that time in their lives, you know, we had said that many survivors feel this appreciation for life and this feeling of, you know, there's a whole new set of values and a whole new set of appreciation and thankful, feeling thankful. Many survivors actually start to feel guilty as well. You know, maybe they're not feeling thankful enough. Maybe they're not feeling enough appreciation. Start to feel a little bit of survivor guilt, which is something maybe a feeling of, why was I the one who was chosen to survive when so many of my friends were not? And so that's one of the challenges they go through that, again, many people around them might not completely understand and feel, oh, you know, why feel that? Don't feel guilty. You shouldn't be feeling guilty. And yet, you know, when they speak to another survivor who can say, I understand that survivor guilt, you know, that's very helpful for them. Some of the other issues are just more practical. They may have some challenges of fertility. They may have some challenges related to dating, to marriage. They may have some issues of just being tired, more tired. And so when they want to go back to school now or they want to go back to work, you know, they're not feeling 100% up to par of their peers at the moment. Again, some of these things obviously go away as time goes on, but some of these things are real challenges for those survivors, especially, you know, more closely after they finish treatment.
Mm-hmm. I know when people come to me and they complain about the guilt that they have of why did I survive, I can't tell that person, don't feel guilty. It doesn't work.
Absolutely,
because that
not.
Just
nope.
that just raises, just makes them angry because you have no idea what I went through. And it, how, so tell us, what does our mission do for teenage survivors of cancer?
Well, I think one of the things that we're trying to show with our mission is that each person has their own mission, and each person has their own job. You know, as Jews, we believe that everything happens for a reason, that there's a reason that everybody, that someone goes through what they go through. And so part of what we're trying to tell people with our mission is that take your experiences and do something with them. Whatever that mission is that you decide for you is your mission. And so, you know, perhaps with this idea of survivor guilt, that there is a reason that you were chosen to be the one who survived. We can't say why it was not chosen for somebody else, but for you there is some reason, and that you should take that and find your own mission. Find your own mission in life and find your own mission, whether it has something to do with what you've been through or not, whether it has something to do with your cancer experience or not. Find your own mission in life and go with it. Really, you know, make something of your life and make something of who you are.
I mean, I tell that to everybody all the time. That's just for cancer survivors.
Absolutely. That's for everybody. We all have our own missions, and we all need to go out there and make something of ourselves.
Okay. So what exactly are the programs for, if you could describe, a name has been recommended to you. There's a teen that maybe you've been involved with through their treatment phase, and now the doctors have said, you're good to go. What happens now, Dr. Cheryl Greenberg?
Okay, so what we have right now for our mission, one of our big things that we have that reaches across all areas geographically is our website, ourmission.org, which really is meant to be that support community for to cancer survivors and their families. And we have on there forums, places where people can ask for advice. They can gain some support and comfort from others. They can, you know, just vent or say something that happened, a challenge, something that they're dealing with that day. We have different forums set up for different categories, meaning different age groups, different cancer types. We have for people who have just finished treatment versus those who are a little bit longer off treatment. We also will have new things added constantly to that website, as well as ways of joining different communities and groups and finding others who have had similar experiences to you, which that is coming soon, like a search engine so you can find other people who are within your age group, within your cancer diagnosis, and again, to be able to connect to those people. We also have a lot of resources on there, including different places where you can get scholarships for post-treatment, places where you can have help with fertility issues, other organizations that help survivors deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with, is all on that website, ourmission.org. Furthermore, we do have some events that we hold. You know, at the moment, we've been started in New York, and therefore some of our events are being held in New York, but we are definitely looking to expand to different areas and different communities. We're happy to open up different chapters in different areas, assuming there's a desire and a need and a want from that community. You know, we're hoping that our mission really is a organization that's for survivors, by survivors. You know, we want it to be something that addresses the unique needs of survivors and that really comes from what they want. We want, you know, survivors to come and tell us what it is that they're looking for, what they need. And if they want to come help, you know, spearhead something and run with it, we're very happy for that, you know, for them to do that. Okay. In their own communities, in their own neighborhoods, in their own areas.
That's terrific. Now, let's talk about the name, Our Mission. I know that it may sound trite, but it really is an important thing. If you're starting an organization, or starting specifically if it's a service organization, you want to get people's attention. So you have to pitch something that's back in CB radio land. I don't remember if you're old enough to remember CB radios, but the name was called The Handle. Like, what's your handles? What's your name? It's like, how are people going to grab on it? The significance, obviously, our mission is a takeoff of remission, of course, and then our mission being, well, this is what our mission is. But how did we come up with this name, and what other, I don't know if you could say what other names were knocked around, and why specifically did we call it, or did you call it, Our Mission?
Well, we had many names. There were names such as Us at one point, you know, just to kind of give a feeling of community.
That website's taken already, though.
Yeah, there are many websites that we've taken, that were taken, many names that were thrown around before we actually got to one. We wanted a name, really, that gave off a feeling of hope and a feeling of moving forward and moving on from this situation, but recognized that what you had been through was really a significant thing, and it wasn't something that you could ever totally move past, and it wasn't something that you actually were hoping to just close the door on, that it really, what you've been through has made you who you are today. And so we were hoping to use something that, again, was a play on word of remission, so that it showed, you know, a person's stage of life and that they have gone through something, that they are at this point where they're, Baruch Hashem, in remission, at the same time that it is spurring them to have their own mission and to have something to look forward to and to continue on with. And so that's really how we got to the idea of Our Mission. You know, again, the play on words of remission and the play on word of our mission and what is each of our missions in life.
Okay. Just one final question, Dr. Cheryl Greenberg of High Life Science, Our Mission. What does Our Mission need from all the people out there in Radio Land?
We need definitely your support. We need help spreading the word that this exists so that no survivor should ever feel that they are alone with this anymore. You know, especially within the Jewish community, we want people to feel there is a place that they can go to where they have people who understand. So spreading the word is definitely of importance. Registering for the website, if you yourself are a cancer survivor or have a family member who's a cancer survivor, get involved in the discussions that are going on in the forums. Get involved in giving advice. If you yourself don't have a question, answer somebody else's. Give somebody else some advice. Give somebody else some strength and some support and some comfort in some of the struggle that they might be going through. That's definitely helpful. And if you have more time on your hands and you want to help volunteer to start a chapter in your area, we are happy to help you do that. So we are always looking for people to call us with their suggestions and call us if they want to get more involved and more active. The number that I can be reached at any time is 212-894-8259. Again, that number is 212-894-8259. Or I can always be reached at C. Greenberger, G-R-E-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R, at r-mission.org. And again, we're happy to hear everyone's suggestions, everyone's ideas. And if people want to be involved, we're very happy to have them be involved.
Okay, that's great. Dr. Greenberg, could you give us the website one more time?
r-mission.org. R as in the letter R, dash mission.org.
Okay, that's terrific. We want to thank you so much for coming on and wish you success with your valuable work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. We've got some music coming up for you. It has been 2 years since Moshe Yes, famed Megama status, passed away, and they're doing a commemorative album of his work. It's interesting that just last week his partner passed away. We played a song from them last week. So we're going to play. This is their title song of their upcoming commemorative CD. It's called Coming Home, and this is Moshe Yes.
Down a long road that started back then with Adam in the Garden of Eden. We were slaves in Egypt with a heavy load until God told Moses he was gonna give us our freedom. Coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Back to Canaan, milk and honey in the promised land. It's one big family reunion in the family of man. coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Back to Canaan, milk and honey in the promised land. It's one big family reunion in the family of.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's a symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Eric Schulfinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Benny Friedman has a new album, and we have the title cut for you right now. This is it's not even out yet. We're cutting edge. The album's going to be called Ma'ala Ani. It means I go up, and that's the name of the song, Ma'ala Ani. Let's listen to Benny Friedman.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is not a new song. This is not like something just came out. But we like to play some klezmer music for you. There's a very famous klezmer tune called The Odessa Bulgar. And this is the Zella Klezmer Band with their rendition. Let's listen. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call
248-624-9800.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hi, Shul Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of B'Shalach. It can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and following. At the end of chapter 15 is a very unusual story. When people think B'Shalach, the major thing they think of is the splitting of the Red Sea. That's like really magnanimous. But we've talked about that in the past. And there's also, in chapter 16, the story of how the Jews got the manna in the desert, and we've talked about that in the past. The end of chapter 15, the Jews came to a certain place, and they got to this watering hole, and the water was really bitter, such that they couldn't drink it. And, of course, they complained. And so Moses took a stick that he found somewhere near the spring, and he threw it into the spring, and miraculously the water became sweet. We could, of course, explain this as there must have been some sort of agent in the wood which had some sort of chemical reaction with whatever chemicals, minerals were in the spring. So we could explain this naturally, but the story still doesn't lose its fire because we can explain it. What happened? If you've got like bad water, my son, we had him on last week. One of the first things he did when he came in the door, he said, "Boy, I'm really thirsty." So he kind of like looked around. I said, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for like the water filters." I said, "Wait a minute, no. You've been in Southeast Asia too long. We don't have those here. This is America." So he like opened the tap and he had a glass of water and he said, "Wow, this is better than any stuff I've had in a long time." And I said, "It's just a glass of water, and we take so much for granted with it." So the idea of like undrinkable water, just not part of our vocabulary, thank God. So if you got bad water, there's things you can do with it. One thing you can do is you just totally, completely inundate it. You dilute it with good water so that the bad water loses its whole entire entity. Then you can put something into the bad water to make it sweet or make it drinkable, a case. In our case, you might be some halazone tablets or something like that. Or there's another thing that you can do. Is that you can filter out the water such that all of the impurities are gone. Water, in this analogy here, we're talking about everything. This is not just history. This is not Jewish trivia. It's got relevance for the year 2013. What's the deal with water? When a person has to make a decision, inevitably, they're going to have a choice. And there's going to be problems involved with the choice. A right decision, a wrong decision. And inevitably, the easiest decision to make is going to be the wrong decision. As we see, when we look at these stories that are in the Bible now, anytime something goes wrong, what do the Jews do? Is they complain, "Whoa, we're going to die in the desert. It would have been better if we never left Egypt." You know, God gets kind of like annoyed with that kind of language. And even one point says, how long do they keep doing this, these people? 10 times it finally happens that the Jews say, "Oh, we should have been never left Egypt. We should have been better than dying in the desert." It says there's different things that can happen to us. What could happen is, let's say a person has some sort of desire to do the wrong thing. At this point,
there are different things that could happen. A person should get so totally involved in doing the right thing that it sort of floods out their desire for the wrong thing. Another thing that a person can do is they can convert this desire to do the wrong thing and make that desire the right thing. I deal with a lot of people who are OCD. They're compulsive people. And their compulsions manifest themselves in many ways. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, shopping, fill in the blanks. A person who is OCD is OCD. But what I tell them to do is instead of fighting the addiction, channel it. Instead of becoming a compulsive hand washer, become a compulsive volunteer. You've got the same thing at the idea, I got to do it, but they're doing something for the benefit of mankind, not checking to just make sure for the 50th time before they walk out the door if the locks are all locked on the doors and windows. So the person then can channel this energy. It's still wrong to be obsessive compulsive, even to doing good things. It's not a good thing to be compulsive about it. But if a person has that, we'll channel it. Then there's the third thing, this idea of filtering it out, getting rid of it. That is the goal of every human being. We should work on ourselves such that we filter out the desire to do the wrong thing. The person who does that is called a Baal Tshuva. What's the idea? We have this idea, this concept of teshuva, which is translated erroneously as repentance. It's not. The word teshuva means to come home, to return, to go back, to reestablish the status quo. What is the definition of repentance according to Judaism is stop doing the thing wrong, have remorse at having done the thing wrong, and resolve, I'm never going to do it again. That person is called a Baal Tshuva, a penitent. That person gets A+. And I'll take it even one step further. If that person expresses that remorse and that desire never to do it again as an expression of their love for God. You know, I did this and I feel, but by doing this, it took me away from God and I don't want to ruin my relationship with God. I just want to be close to God. So it says that that misdeed is counted in the eyes of God as a positive thing. Once the person did it post facto, the bad deed is what propelled the person to get closer to God. Getting closer to God is our object. That's the goal. And if it just so happened, not that you can say, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill somebody and feel really bad about it and get really close to God. Sorry, can't do that. But if a person did do something and they feel now, I'm lacking in my relationship with the Almighty. This misdeed drove them closer to God. And God says, it's like they did a mitzvah. The misdeed becomes the mitzvah. We filtered out the schmutz, the garbage, so much that we now have fresh, clean water. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We got the Hasidic story coming up. Don't go away. You are listening to the Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Schulfenman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest, best way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, rabbifinman.com. You'll find there, right on the homepage, a way of contacting me. You'll also find links to the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, which are various media of yours truly conveying messages of Judaism, the Torah portion of the week, the holidays, whatever happens to be current, in a hopefully entertaining and informative way. And, of course, there's the very important donations page. Thank God January was paid this week. It's only after all the 20th. We finally got it together, folks. And it's all because of listeners like yourself. The sponsors do some, but we are, for the most part, listener-supported. So go to therabbifinman.com, hit the donations page, and you'll be glad you'll do, and you'll be bestowed with thousands of blessings, I guarantee you. Don't like using the Internet? Well, it's no problem. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Got a story here. There was Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, was a famous rabbi about 200 years ago. The town of Berdichev was a very interesting thing. If there was a person who passed away and had no heirs, so their property was distributed for various functions to charities of various sorts. The tefillin, which are these prayer objects which are worn in the morning, would go to the burial society, and they would sell them and use them for, you know, taking care of people who couldn't afford funerals. So it once happened that Levi Yitzchak Berdichev showed up and asked the head of this burial society, "I want to buy a pair of tefillin. I want to buy one of these things." So he showed him around, and he picked out a certain specific pair. So this, the head of the burial society, is very smart. He said to him, "Rabbi, you can have every single pair except that one," knowing that if the rabbi wanted that specific pair, there must be a reason for it. He wanted to get the story out. So the rabbi pleaded, "Please, please, sell me this tefillin. I'll offer you twice as much, whatever." He said, "I'll sell it to you on one condition, that you tell me the story behind the tefillin." So he said, "This is the story. There were two brothers, twins, Elimelech of Lezhansk and Zusha of Anapoli. They would travel together incognito. And they would stop at a certain place, and they would start talking to each other, in, like, you know, hypothetically speaking, as what happened if a person was doing such and such a misdeed. An eardrop of a person who was doing such a misdeed. So it once happened that they stopped into an inn, and one of them said, "Oh, woe is me. I just discovered I had my tefillin all these years. I never had them checked. And lo and behold, they were checked, and there was something wrong with them, and I've never put on tefillin properly in my life. Whoa, whoa, whoa." So the guy hearing this said, "Wait a minute, I've never had my tefillin checked." So they opened up his tefillin, and lo and behold, they were not kosher. So Reb Zusha, right there on the spot, wrote a set of parchments that go into the tefillin with the intention that every time he puts it on, it makes up for a time that he did not put them on. That was his intention in writing them. It says that these tefillin, the parchments, were very powerful, and they're actually too powerful for this innkeeper, and he died shortly thereafter. And Levi Yitzchak said, "I want those tefillin." And those are the tefillin that he put on with his special pair of tefillin. It says that when he passed away, when Levi Yitzchak Berdichev passed away, the tefillin went to an heir, a grandson, and that grandson took him to a scribe to have them checked. And as the
scribe opened up the scrolls, he saw the letters on the parchments disappear, making the tefillin no longer kosher. Freaky. Well, that's the show for you. We're glad you tuned in. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again back again next week. Take care.
Shine bright. I won't give up. No, 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 no. No, I won't give up. I let my love shine bright. I won't give up. No, 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 no. Don't put me down for the way that I look, for what I wear. It's just this skin I bear.
It's just this skin I bear.
'Cause there'll come a time when all man and woman will live as one. At least I do believe. So I don't give up. I let my love shine bright. Won't give up. No, 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 no.
Hello, Half Price Heroes. It's that time of year again. Schools are having open houses. Parents across the region are thinking about the fall of 2013 school.